The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
There's a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Centralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. Their national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan over a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is the Tokens Radio Show, where we talk about all things Bitcoin, crypto, blockchain, and Web3. My name's Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kent, and we're here in the studio with Liam today.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
The famous Liam.
Yeah, I was going to say, boy, did we learn some information about Liam today. We'll have to spill the beans one of these days.
We have to get permission.
You guys can spill the beans.
We can? All right.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that you had so many talents.
Yes. He's quite a talented musician.
Yeah.
And he had quite a performance the other night. Had 200 in attendance, which is quite
awesome.
Quite a large crowd for this little town.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Good job. Plus, he's been invited to go to L.A. and start hobnobbing with some people who can help accelerate his career.
That's awesome. You have to keep take pictures, and you have to give us an update.
I will. I'll keep y'all guys in the
loop. We appreciate it.
We don't want to lose another producer.
But
if something better came along to propel your career forward... We're behind you.
Yeah, especially young people.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful to see.
It's great.
You just never know what you'll find out about people until you start talking to them sometimes.
Well, just a small digression there. So you can find our previous shows at tokensradioshow.com or right here at KCNR 1460.com and connect with us on Telegram and Twitter at Tokens Radio Show. And if you'd like to call in and chat with us, we're at 530-605-4567, and you'd be able to speak with the very talented Liam.
Right.
Who may or may not let you on the air. So just be nice. The station's chat room is open again.
It is.
And you can send us a message there, so we'd love to chat with you. Currently, Bitcoin's at 19,464, Ethereum's at 1320, XRP at 0.53. Nearly 54 cents. XLM is at 12 cents. And Divi is at 1.9 cents.
Well, thank you for that.
Some of
them have gone up a little bit.
They have, especially XRP.
Yeah.
Luke Gibson of Gibson Appraisal sponsors this portion of the show, and if I can speak. In a changing real estate market, you can't take a chance of getting the wrong valuation. Serving Shasta, Siskiyou, and Trinity counties for prompts and accurate appraisals, contact Luke at 530-221-0154. That's 530-221-0154.
Yep. And he's a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
He really is. Yeah. Speaking of young people.
Yes, indeed. Well, everybody's looking younger to us, right?
Well, that's true.
Yeah, what do we have for crypto speak?
All right, well, I kind of picked two. And it is the first one is NGMI. Stands for Not Gonna Make It. Now, you can take that several ways, but in the crypto world, it usually means it's a prediction of future failure as a result of a poor decision, like selling at the bottom of the market,
right?
You know, the value of the token going up, you know, things like that. It can also be used to label and to ridicule people who have taken a stance against crypto or who fail to understand basic crypto concepts.
Okay.
So after I looked at that, then I come across this acronym. WAGMI, on the other hand, stands for we're all gonna make it. You know, we gotta end on a positive note here. So it's widely used in the crypto community to inspire both positivity and confidence in a project. It is also used to encourage the community to support each other and not lose hope. And in today's world, we can't lose hope.
So would not going to make it be like nick me and like wag me?
I guess you could say it like that.
Kind of like
nick me?
You heard the term wag NIMBY, me? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you can say it however you want, but I thought those were kind of interesting because when you first hear them, you could take them different ways. And
right. Oh, I like that.
Excuse me. Yeah, like in the crypto world, this is kind of where it sits.
I've never heard these acronyms, so that's awesome.
Very I'm a good. Digging. Yeah. I'm a learning.
You are
I'm getting educated. Edumacated.
Yes. So we had talked recently about a journey into de-Googling ourselves.
We did, yes.
And currently we're working on the Umbral node, and that seems to be going fairly well.
Right.
And then it seems as though Proton Drive has just gotten out of their beta, and it is now open to everybody.
That's interesting. That's very cool.
Yes, and you can get a free drive like you can with Google, or you can get a paid version. And I like the paid version because they offer a paid version at $7.99 a month.
Which isn't very much.
Well, what it includes is your mailbox as well. That allows you to have, I believe, like 15 email addresses.
Oh, wow.
The security gives you like, and don't quote me on this because I'm going from memory, 20 gigabytes of storage, I believe, for $7.99 a month. So when you're looking at just paying for storage, which Google now charges you for now, I think it's like $20 a year for that, for one terabyte. 1 terabyte is $20 a year. But nonetheless, I mean, it is a paid service. You're paying for it at Google. Why not pay for an encrypted service
right.
through Proton and become de-Googleized?
Yeah, I like that. De-Googleize yourself.
So you can go with a home node, and if that seems too complicated, and there's a little technical aspect to it, but it's really not difficult, you can just go right to Proton.
Awesome. That's good information because I know some of our listeners are always looking for different platforms
right.
or different ways to de-Googleize.
Right.
So.
And especially if you're putting revenue behind it, you want to spend money towards things that you believe in.
Yes.
Services that support maybe your value system.
Yeah, that's becoming a big deal. Yes. That's why one reason you want to de-Googleize.
That's exactly why.
So, again, that is a drive-through Proton.
Yes, it's drive.proton.me.
Awesome.
Yes. So we must sort through 25, 30 stories that come up during the week. And we narrowed it down to 6. And so we're going to go here and just run through the crypto news for the week. And here we go.
Yeah. The first one's payments. Giant Swift pays way for global use.
Let me borrow your page because mine is missing.
Maybe I took yours.
Right.
That could be.
I don't know where it's at, but pardon me. So payments giant Swift paves way for global use of CBDCs. And this is excerpts by the Swift press release as well as Cointelegraph. Swift is a payments colossus. They're huge. It operates across more than 200 countries, has 11,000 plus financial institutional clients, and transmits some 8.4 billion financial messages every year. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's big.
It's the global leader in cross-border bank-to-bank payments and recently played a key role in the West economic sanctions on Russia. We all heard about Russia getting kicked off of SWIFT.
Yes, we did. Well, and Canada did too, wasn't it?
Well, they didn't. No, they censored the truckers.
That's right.
Critics have long maintained that SWIFT, founded in the 70s, is old, inflexible, slow, and increasingly prone to cyber attacks. Even MasterCard CEO cast doubt upon SWIFT's ability to survive the next 5 years. Meanwhile, it continues to be menaced by rising tide of blockchain-based payment networks on one side in an expected deluge of central bank digital currencies on the other. This week, SWIFT announced it has successfully shown that CBDCs and tokenized assets can move seamlessly on existing financial infrastructure. The findings from two separate experiments solve the significant challenge of interaction and cross-border transactions by bridging between different distributed ledger technology networks and existing payment systems, allowing digital currencies and assets to flow smoothly alongside and interact with their traditional counterparts. It's huge. This is cross-chain.
Right.
Just to sum it up. The important step forward builds on SWIFT's core capabilities and means that as CBDCs and tokens develop, they can be rapidly deployed to facilitate trade and investment between more than 200 countries and territories around the world. Working in collaboration with Citi, Clearstream, Northern Trust, and CETL, its technology partner SWIFT explored 70 scenarios simulating market issuance and secondary market transfers of tokenized bonds, equities, and cash. That's huge. It successfully served as a single access point to various tokenized networks and showed its infrastructure could be used to create transfer and redeem tokens and update balances between multiple client wallets, as well as provide interaction between different tokenization platforms and existing account-based infrastructure. And it's still too early to know which financial messaging system will be king, as XRP and XLM are in the running.
Okay. So the next article we came across was Veritasium sues Coinbase for patent infringement. We're having a little issue with our paper, so don't mind the rattling around. We're working at it. They reported several months ago on whether there would be a patent infringement lawsuit. Favera's founder began reaching out to companies that appeared to be using their technology. This week, Vera filed a lawsuit against Coinbase for patent infringement of its transfer technology for several exchange services. A big deal.
It is huge.
It really is. Months ago, the company reached out to Coinbase to settle this issue without running any legal dispute in the courts. But Coinbase was uncooperative, and now Vera is suing Coinbase for $350 million in return for damages, making Coinbase plead guilty and stopping the platform from using these patents in their services. Veritasium has had its own legal problems. It's faced charges of running a fraudulent scheme by the Security and Exchange Commission, SEC, in 2019. Finally, the company and its founder, Reggie Middleton, agreed to settle the deal, paying SEC more than $9.4 million in total. However, they spent $1 million extra as a penalty for Middleton to settle fraudulent scheme charges against him. Note that Vera was not found guilty. They settled the lawsuit to allow them to move forward.
Well, we talked about this before, and Veritasium, it could become a very valuable token. Again, this is not financial advice, but SEC confiscated like 98% of their coins, and their tokens were to be used to help institutional users use the system.
Right.
But SEC will not return them. However, Mr. Middleton's patent was granted. He had not done anything wrong, but yet he has still lost those 98%.
He's still being penalized.
So the remaining Veritasium tokens is about 2 million, probably a little less than that. There will not be any more minted ever. So it can just, due to scarcity, can possibly be a very valuable token to have. And that is very, V-E-R-I.
Yeah. And that's very interesting because they're not returning.
Very is very interesting.
Yeah, very is very interesting. So if it goes up in value, I wonder who's going to benefit from the ones that was confiscated. Just asking.
Well, it's just same old SEC games that have been going on. We're seeing evidence after evidence of how the SEC is working. So it's just another chapter moving forward, and I don't think this will be, you know, the last of lawsuits that will be coming
probably not
forward. All that Mr. Middleton wants is to have his patent be recognized and to receive some compensation for all of the work that he's done on this project. His patent wasn't awarded until 2021. He was, charged in 2019, but he started the project in 2013.
Wow. That's a long time.
A lot of investment.
Yeah.
So the Pentagon examines crypto risks to national security, and this is from the Bitcoinist. The Pentagon is launching a new program to look into different types of cryptocurrencies and find out what kind of risks they pose to national security and law enforcement. DARPA, the research and development arm of the United States of Defense, intends to examine distributed ledger financial applications as part of the program. The Pentagon and DARPA have enlisted the services of Inca Digital, a provider of digital asset data and analytics, for a one-year contract to investigate national security risks posed by cryptocurrencies using sophisticated tools to provide a critical appraisal of crypto markets. Inca Digital and the Pentagon will begin a first-of-a-kind project to map crypto systems to comprehend how digital assets function and how to use their jurisdictional power over virtual currency markets around the world. Yes, there was emphasis there.
Yes.
DARPA has examined blockchain technology for a number of years, both of its potential ramifications and as a practical method for its own goals. It teamed with Trail of Bits earlier this year to assess the degree to which blockchains are decentralized and to detect their weaknesses.
You know, this can be kind of a double-edged sword to me with this one.
Yeah.
You know, I understand some of the reasoning behind what they're doing, but for what purpose are we doing this really?
Yes.
You know, this could hurt people. It really could. So with that, while we're on kind of on that line of stuff, is the dangerous implications of CBDs. All right. And this was a piece, opinion piece, and it was authored by Natalie Smolensky, I would say.
Smolensky.
And Dan Held. Retail CBDs are fully programmable cash. Programmable cash gives central banks direct relationships with their consumers. Direct relationships between central banks and consumers enable central banks to do several things, such as surveil all financial transactions. Oh, my. That kind of goes back to some of the other things we've talked in past shows about. Flag, block, or reverse any transaction at any time. That could be really bad.
Yes.
Determine how much cash anyone can hold and transact with.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it sounds like a lot of rules or restraints are coming on you with this, you think?
You bet.
Determine what products and services cash can be used to buy and by whom.
Mm-hmm. No cash used to use.
I was going to say, there we go back to the cash shoes. Directly implemented monetary policy like negative interest rates at the level of private cash holdings.
Don't put your money in the bank.
Hmm. Wow. This is just getting more and
not
more.
Not financial advice.
Nope. It's not financial advice, but don't put your money in the bank. Decentralize savings. Holding digital cash by capping balances like the Bahamas have done, or imposing a penalty on balances over a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You mean that I could get penalized?
That's right. Yes.
And then you take not only my cash, but you could take my CBDs.
Your CBDCs, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Implementing negative interest rates, central banks further erode the value of your savings, focusing you to spend your dwindling savings even faster.
Yeah, so they go ahead and they give you negative interest. It devalues your money, so it forces you to have to spend it quicker.
Yeah, because you're afraid that it, but if you don't, it's going to be worth even less and buy less at that point.
Yes, it gets better.
Oh, yes. So the next one, confiscate privately held cash.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. This is one I really like. Not. Enforce tax collection on every cash transaction, no matter how small. So.
That's right.
Okay, so imagine with a mandatory taxation on every CBD transaction, you would be taxed by giving your neighbor $20 or giving your children an allowance or for every item you sell at a yard sale.
Who collects taxes at a yard sale?
And who knows how much you're making? I mean,
right.
I mean, it's like the little girl in the lemonade stand, right?
Right.
A person paying their friend $50 to change a tire or $100 to look after their home while they're away would be taxed for these activities. So virtually you wouldn't be able to do anything
without
exchanging, right, without being taxed.
Right.
Hmm. This informal economy is not only a necessary mode of relating, but lifeblood for millions of people who rely on it to survive day to day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. There's bartering that's going on all the time, and people do that to survive. And now the governmental entity wants to put their hand out every time something like that happens. So here we're trying to help the impoverished, but we're not. We're furthering their decline of being sufficient, self-reliable.
Right. Yeah, and at what tax rate? Who's determining the tax rate?
Yeah. This is all going to be coming out in the wash. And the reason why we share this with you and we are pounding this subject, basically, is you got to reach out to your elected officials. You need to let them know how you feel. And believe it or not, whether you're on the right or the left, this is not a right or left issue.
No, it's not.
There are crypto enthusiasts on both sides of the aisle, and they are in government. You do need to let them know how you feel.
Right, and we've talked about it before.
Sure.
This is going to happen anyway.
Right.
So, you know, you need to be aware so maybe you can do your transactions a little bit different than
right.
what you might have thought you could
yeah.
do.
Yeah, that train already left the station, and it's not returning.
Yeah, the train to nowhere.
So this is a short little article. Paxos wins custody deal for the Fidelity and Schwab-backed digital asset exchange, the EDXM. And this is a little snippet from Ledger Insights. EDX Markets, that's EDXM, announced it selected Paxos for institutional custody of assets traded by the digital asset exchange. EDXM was unveiled just 3 weeks ago with a consortium of backers, including Citadel Securities, Fidelity Digital Assets, Schwab, Paradigm, Sequoia Capital, and Virtue Financial. With EDXM, access to cryptocurrencies would be via a traditional broker-dealers rather than a crypto exchange, which is a whole different twist. While many crypto firms state that they want to target institutions, Paxos is one of the few that have done it. Apart from its highly publicized deal with PayPal, where it provides crypto brokerage, it also operates stablecoins on behalf of Binance and others. It's huge.
Yes, it's very huge. And I think with that,
we got about a minute to
to break time. So maybe we'll go to break and come back and do the last article.
Yeah.
And
I
go
think that's
over
a
all
very
that.
Important story to share.
All right. And with that, we're going to take a break and we'll see you back in 3.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back into a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, Pop the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
The new 32 Below ice cream shop realizes that ice cream is more than just ice cream. Remember when you got good grades and mom would say, "All right, we're going to ice cream." Remember when the team won? It was like, "We're all going to ice cream." How about an ice cream date with the one you love? Yeah, ice cream is definitely more than just ice cream. It's a celebration. But guess what? You don't need a reason to go out for ice cream. You just need a cool place that's open every day of the week. That place is 32 Below Ice Cream Shop on Caterpillar Road, right next to Dill's Deli. 24 flavors of ice cream, shakes, malts, or soda floats, cookie sundaes, brownie sundaes, or the classic banana split. At 32 Below Ice Cream Shop, we believe life is a celebration, and anytime is a good time for ice cream. 32 Below Ice Cream Shop at 5136 Caterpillar Road next to Dill's Deli. Open Monday through Saturday, noon to 9, Sunday, noon to 7. 32 Below Ice Cream Shop. Anytime is a good time for ice cream.
Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
Baby, and jump over here when you do the ooby dooby. I gotta be.
And welcome back. If that doesn't get your feet moving, I don't know what will.
We were just doobie-doobing here in the studio.
Yes, we were. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. I think Liam wanted to get in on that.
I actually have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
So, like, I mean, I don't understand a whole lot about, like, decentralized currencies, but, like, so, like, with our system of money, like American money.
Fiat.
Is that what fiat is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes. Cool. So, like, if we have a recession or a crash or whatever, like, the government's able to step in and bail us out. You know what I mean? In a sense.
Or not.
Or not. But, I mean, like the Great Depression. Like, whatever. If there's, like, can you have recessions and stuff with, digital decentralized currencies, and, like, what happens? Like, how do you protect yourself against that?
let's talk about how we get into recessions.
Right.
Historically, we didn't have recessions until we had a Federal Reserve System that was started in 1913.
Okay.
A wonderful
mm-hmm.
book to read is The Creature from Jekyll Island.
Okay.
And that will start the rabbit hole journey. But the central banks, is because of their perpetual printing of currency,
okay.
is devaluing the currency, and this
right.
is how we have recessions, and they're getting to be more severe over time,
mm-hmm.
because we're not able to pay the debts that we've incurred by printing so much money.
Yeah.
So can it happen with CBDCs? You bet, because we can. It's an endless minting machine, if you will.
Right.
I mean, we're printing dollars or paper dollars. But the CBDCs is just adding another decimal point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it can definitely do the same thing.
But on the decentralized side,
yeah,
it's not able to, because there's only so many.
I see.
Like,
that's why
there's only
amount of Bitcoin.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
That's what makes a big difference with Bitcoin, because
mm-hmm.
there's only 21 million.
Right.
And not every cryptocurrency has a limit.
Mm-hmm.
But those that are probably going to survive, especially proof of work,
yes,
coins have a limitation to them.
Yeah.
So Litecoin is another one. What is it? Dash. Is that Dash what I'm thinking of? Dash Cash. Yeah, there's.
I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah,
there's a few, but that's why you need to do your homework
right.
and read the white papers. But that's why we're always saying, like, Bitcoin
yeah.
is the grandfather,
mm-hmm.
because there is a limited supply.
Yeah.
It is the granddaddy. The other ones, you may be taking a risk, and maybe you're not. There's
yeah.
no way for us to know. Like she says, they could have unlimited. Some of
yeah.
them
yeah.
don't. But that's where you do your homework.
And you can have parallel operations. So you can have your peer-to-peer transactions very much like how it happens now. People
yeah.
work just in cash. They may just work in gold and silver, and they have their
mm-hmm.
trading partners, and that's
mm-hmm.
peer-to-peer. But if you want to go and transact, let's say you buy a car and you need to finance it in some sort of way.
Yeah.
You don't have all of those fiat dollars to buy the car. You may have to enter the other side of the system and start utilizing those rails, whether it's
mm-hmm.
fiat or CBDCs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense?
It makes
answer your
a
question?
Little bit of sense,
yeah.
but it's like a it's an out there kind of like concept. So
it is. And
there's a
great
lot to
question.
It. Yeah.
yeah.
I'm
excellent
glad you
question.
Asked that. Anytime, you know, that's
yeah.
great. If you got a question, that's the only way is to ask.
Yeah.
And again, the term I hate is diversified.
Oh, yeah.
But it takes it all to make it happen.
But
because you'll, like you say, you'll have to be on certain off-ramps or on-ramps in order to conduct certain things.
The World Banking players, the World Economic Forum, the Federal Reserve,
mm-hmm.
the Bank of England, or Bank of London, I'm sorry, the Vatican, they're all responsible for this. They're led by some very wealthy
yeah.
families
mm-hmm.
with long lineages. And I'll just leave it there. A good place to start is to read that book,
okay.
The Creatures from Jekyll Island.
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
It's a great book.
Cool. Well, thank you for that.
Yes, appreciate
Enjoy
it.
Enjoy that. All right. So, we were doing our news articles, and we got...
And this might be very complimentary to what Liam just asked. The timing was great
yeah.
with this next story.
That's true. So, the title of this one is Lebanese Hold Up Their Banks to Get Their Money from Blockworks. Banks in Lebanon closed for a week last month after a series of holdups staged by the banks on depositors. Law-abiding citizens were pushed to the brink to demand their own money at gunpoint due to the crushing economic crisis. Okay, so they're saying, hey, we want our money. The bank is saying, no, go away.
Were they asking for it in cash?
Yes.
So it's basically like the Great Depression, right? Everyone tried to pull their money
pretty
out.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
At the same
yep.
time.
Hmm.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yes, it is.
So most immediately gave themselves up to the authorities as soon as they passed the forcibly withdrawn money off to relatives. Why this is happening in Lebanon and not elsewhere? Well, it's coming to a place near you. The crisis is severe in this Middle Eastern country, but it's not the only nation suffering. The difference is Lebanese banks offer U.S. dollar accounts to their customers.
Uh-huh. There's the canary there.
Yeah. So the people deposit their dollars at their local bank as a way to hedge against the deflation of Lebanese pound. However, when they go to withdraw their savings, they are offered only, say, 20 or 30 cents on that dollar. Okay? In Lebanon, people are learning that bank deposits are not money. They are IOUs.
That's a factual statement.
So many Lebanese had already opted out of their local banks for this reason. Some have chosen to simply hold their cash, and others have turned to crypto.
Yeah, that's just... Liam, I don't know if you saw these notes, but your question was perfect timing.
Yeah, spot on, because, yeah.
So a recent Gemini survey found that 66% of respondents from Brazil agreed that cryptocurrency is the future of money versus just 23% in the United States. It just goes to show how sheltered we are here in a very technologically advanced country. Brazil is no sneeze at that, but as the survey goes along, you'll see the disparity between the countries. In Latin America and Africa, 46% of respondents agree cryptocurrency is a great way to protect against inflation versus just 16% here in the United States. In the United States, we think crypto has flopped because it's failed to protect us from 9% inflation. In many more countries, however, it's been a lifeline as the only option to protect against 90% inflation. Payments were the original use case for crypto as set forth in the first line of Satoshi's white paper, which states, a purely peer-to-peer version of electronic cash would allow online payments to be sent directly from one party to another without going through a financial institution. We've since had a lot of evidence on just how essential that original use case is.
Right. So let's take the case of Venezuela, where crypto rails were used during the pandemic to funnel funds directly to the healthcare workers, bypassing the sanctioned Maduro regime. Okay. The U.S. recognized, and I'm going to screw that name up.
It's Guaido.
Guaido government was able to mint USDCs with dollars that have been seized by the U.S. Treasury after Maduro refused to cede power in 2019. The USDC was sent to digital wallets created by the payments platforms, Erdem?
I think so, yeah.
Is how you say it, on behalf of the healthcare workers in Venezuela. About 18 million was distributed to 60,000 doctors and nurses. That works out to about $300 per person in a country where the minimum wage is $3 a month. Huge.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge. Recipients were able to withdraw that money, to their local bank accounts as bolivars, send it to friends and family, or spend it with Erdem debit cards. So they were able to go ahead, access that money at a nice value, and do whatever they needed it to do, whether it was to family, to friends, or who else needed it, or what they needed.
Yeah, they did the end around of Venezuelans' hyperinflated bolivar.
Yeah. Erdem network is such that a good portion of the digital dollars was spent without even touching the local banking system. Much of urban Venezuela is already a dollarized market with grocery stores and other businesses quoting prices in U.S. dollars.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, at least this was a good use case.
Yes,
or in this particular case. But it just goes to show how it can be easily manipulated.
Yeah, and just think if they wouldn't have had this.
Exactly.
And we don't hear the reports about the good side of this and what happened down there.
So the World Bank estimates that more than $500 billion are sent home each year by migrant workers, many of whom pay 10% plus in fees on every transfer. We've talked about how the cross-border transfer fees, the exchange fees, are if you're coming from a village and the travel cost to get to like a Western Union and then the travel back to the village. You know, $100 could be $50 by the time you're getting settled your fees. Moving those critical transfers onto crypto rails would mean that $50 billion a year currently getting lost in the cracks of the financial system, SWIFT, would find its way to those who need it most. That would be life-changing money for a lot of people. Crypto gets a lot of flack for falling short on long-promised use cases, but trying to tell that to despairing bank depositors in Lebanon, the unbanked of Africa, or the Latin Americans suffering through hyperinflation, they will tell you firsthand how useful crypto is.
Yeah, because it was pretty much a matter of life and death for a lot of those people.
Well, and we talked about how many of the Africans who had their mobile phones and they were being interviewed and they were asked, what is one word you would give Bitcoin? And like 90% of them said freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
Just incredible.
So that was our top news stories. A lot of information there, folks. Hope you hope that helped you out at the end there too, Liam, with some of your questions.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just when you print currency and you don't have the goods and services available, okay, and to supply the demand, you have inflation. And if you have too much supply and too much currency, you have devaluation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I had to get that right in my head.
Yeah, you flood it, and the more you have of something, usually the less value it has.
So Linda and I had attended an online webinar, and it was pretty cool.
It was cool.
It was a presentation from a company called PwC, and they do consulting for businesses on how to bring a cryptocurrency to your business, and they did this in conjunction with BitPay. Now, many people are familiar with BitPay on the individual side of things, but they have a business side as well, which is really, really cool with what they do there. So what they've, in this they've discussed, you know, digital asset payment adoption is needed. And there's a need for stable coins both domestically and abroad. So we really need to get our regulatory framework into place about what will be the stable coins. And lately the rumor has been XRP and XLM. Are they the stable coins? We don't know.
We don't know, but there's a lot of information pointing in that direction.
And so crypto has been seen as an appreciating asset rather than something to facilitate payments. And so us hodlers have kind of shot ourselves in the foot that way, thinking, you know, this is a long-term investment, which it is. But we should also feel comfortable spending a little bit of it and put it into the market. It is energy. Just like money's energy, you've got to move it.
Well, that's true. And you've got to spend it to make it to a certain degree. You know, you can't just hold on to it and
So businesses can boost sales and earn trust by tapping into the crypto market, and we've seen that here in the local market.
Yeah, we have. You know, and it comes to, you'd be surprised how many places, you know, are starting to adopt it.
Right.
And through BitPay, you know, there's hundreds of wallets, I want to say, that you will have access to or looking at for different uses. In different cases, you know, so, and that's growing all the time. The, you know, the markets are starting to pick up with Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies compared to where they were. So.
Can I clarify something?
Sure.
All right. So Pay doesn't provide the 100 wallets. What was said is that currently there's 100 wallets plus available.
Yes, thank you for clarifying.
So if you
want to
have a
that.
Divi wallet, a BitPay wallet, a Moon wallet, you know, those are all wallets, and they all serve different use cases. So didn't want to be misleading.
Right, I appreciate that. But I do believe, you know, you can still go through BitPay. No matter what wallet you have, basically.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because they do the conversion for you.
Right. So, right. But thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, you bet.
You know, and there's over like 400 exchanges providing custody conversion between the chains, which we just talked about. You know, that's a big deal.
Right.
And there's 100 million plus wallet holders and growing. I mean, there's a lot of people that are starting to be involved in this.
So, the merchant categories that are currently accepting cryptocurrency are telecommunications, real estate, big tech, luxury brands, retail commerce, vehicles, yachts, and travel, nonprofits of all.
That's interesting.
Yes. Government space receiving property taxes and payouts in crypto. We're seeing congressmen and senators who wish to be paid in Bitcoin. Just Colorado is now accepting property taxes in crypto, Bitcoin, and I believe there's a couple other coins that they're accepting as well.
Yeah, and some of your government agencies are starting to do it. Cryptocurrency holders, 75% seek merchant accept crypto.
Yeah, they want merchants to take their crypto.
Yep. 72% believe not enough accept crypto, and 65% are very likely to shop at a merchant. I found that kind of interesting.
Right.
65% of the people would go to a business because they accept crypto versus not accepting it.
I think that's true. We know people here locally.
That's true. Yeah.
Fit right in that category.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. So the business case for crypto, in case you're a merchant and you're thinking, well, why would I take crypto? Do you know that your potential reach can be up to 40% of new clients, new customers, if you take crypto?
Right.
But, you know, the question might be, well, how do we do this? You know, do I have to receive Bitcoin and do the exchange and all of that?
And the conversion.
No. And here's where BitPay makes it very, very simple. They move the money. So if you have somebody that comes, Linda comes into my store and she wants to use her Litecoin to buy something. Well, she can certainly do that. She can go ahead and use her BitPay card, which she's loaded Litecoin up on, and come in and use it. This is on the individual side. Or she can take any of her other cryptocurrency. You don't have to have a BitPay card. She can use, let's say, a Divi wallet, for instance, and send crypto to the business. That's a BitPay portal. And BitPay will do all of the conversion. So if you're the merchant and you want to hold on to maybe 50% of your proceeds in Bitcoin, you can do that. You can self-custodialize your Bitcoin, and the rest of it can be paid to you in fiat.
Which is pretty nice.
It is.
Because you don't really have to put another system in place. You don't really have to think about it. And you can increase your business.
But you can imagine the accounting nightmare that might be.
It could if you didn't have somebody that was doing it.
And BitPay seems to have figured that out.
Yeah, because that's important, because we still don't have all the rules about the transactions and stuff. So they seem to have a big handle on ways to adopt and help you with that transition.
They certainly do. And the record keeping that's involved, one of BitPay's chief accountants, that's how she got into this space. She audited BitPay.
Right.
And when she realized, oh my gosh, this is such a void in the marketplace, because, you know, businesses, they need to be working with GAAP rules, the general accepted accounting principles. And, that can be very difficult when you're dealing with cryptocurrencies and may have been a barrier for merchants to come on board and accepting crypto. I mean, a lot of us individuals are grappling with that. So right. Can you imagine a business who has a lot on the line? They want to be very careful, and BitPay has created that solution.
Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier, like with fees. The fees, whether it is fiat currency, if you go to another country.
Yes.
Sometimes your fees for that transaction to, convert.
Yes.
From one currency to the other can be quite high.
Sure.
And there's no fees there.
And you may have VAT taxes. I mean, you'll have, the transaction fee of moving, it's very small.
Right.
Very small.
But not for the conversion.
But here's the thing. That's right. BitPay takes care of all of the conversion.
Right.
That's part of the fees that you do pay. But here's the thing. When you have a merchant, when you're a merchant here locally, and you accept a credit card. See, there was a day when businesses didn't take credit cards. They just wanted check or cash.
Yes.
But they ended up getting more customers by accepting credit cards. And they didn't always take all credit cards.
No.
They did not take Discover. They did not take
American Express.
But
or Diners Club.
Yes, or to get more customers, they had to start taking those cards. But the fees to process those transactions are high. There's like 5%.
And they're climbing all the time, yes.
Right. So the same deal, by working with crypto and working with the system that BitPay offers, it eliminates all of that. You have a small transaction fee for just like any other crypto transaction. That's simply you pay your way in crypto. You
right.
always do. Somebody else does not pay the freight for you.
Right.
So you have a small send fee. You may have a small receive fee. It's the way it is.
Right. And to that, being in business and accepting credit cards and stuff like that, and you mentioned like American Express back in the day, one reason they didn't take it, and even now, is because sometimes it takes so long for you to get your money.
Oh, exactly.
It can be
good
past 30
yes.
days. It can be
right.
45 days
Excellent
before
point.
You actually get the cash in
right.
the bank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where this is like boom, boom.
It's instantaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal for a business sometimes.
The other added advantage of working with crypto is the chargeback situation.
Yes.
Now, that's
Good
an accounting
yeah.
nightmare, isn't it? But with crypto, there are no chargebacks. It's all on the ledger. So does it mean the merchant is going to refuse returns? No. What it simply means is that charge is not going to be reversed.
Right.
Which is a nightmare.
Again, with businesses, right. I know it,
right.
and have seen many businesses that has caused severe problems with them, is a customer comes in, buys something for X amount of dollars, walks out and decides, you know what? I really didn't like Krusty,
right.
and I'm going to take my money
yes.
back. Meanwhile, you've already ordered the product or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
It can really make it a heartache for people.
It sure can. And the other cool thing about this is when you, what did I want to say about this? When you bring back a product, there's just a small transaction fee, to send, to refund that money back to the customer. But do you lose the valuation from when the purchase was made? So let's say the crypto is
Good
worth
point.
More.
Right.
Going back to the customer, they're not going to gain on that. Hey, I made money on the return. But let's say the counter offer, if the return was lower, BitPay is still going to make it neutral. So if the charge, if the sale was $100, you're going to get $100. The customer will get $100 back.
That's pretty cool.
Okay.
Because that works out for both sides.
Right. Right.
One person isn't losing and, the other person's gaining, so to speak. So that is very cool.
So there are other ways to do this. This is just a great webinar that we saw. You might want to go and check it out, bitpay.com. We're not affiliated with BitPay in any way. It just seemed as though with BitPay being around for 10 years, they have a solution.
Yep, they clarified a lot of things.
Yep. And I think that we are up to the end of the show.
All right. And so we will see everybody next week. Have a good week, everybody.
Yes, take care.
And as a great man once said, the government which governs best governs least. So in this very critical type of property we call money, the most important form of property in the world, this is another way to look at Bitcoin and the importance of Bitcoin. Bitcoin, very simply, is the government that governs least. It just gives you strong property in your money, and that's it.
KCNR, Shasta.